All right, I don't know what time it is on your clock, but I know what I'm getting ready for. It is time for the Professional CISO Podcast with David Malico.
Welcome to the Professional CISO Podcast. I'm your host, David Malico. This show is an exploration of the topics necessary to transform the role of the CISO into that of a professional. All right, today we have a special guest. This person is not a cybersecurity practitioner, not even cybersecurity at all, which is not a bad thing. So why in the world would we bring a marketer on to a show that's about cybersecurity and CISOs? Well, we're going to get there. So I do want to talk and tease a little bit. So he is an entrepreneur. He's a mover and a shaker in the Dallas marketing community. And on notable side of things, he has run marketing agencies as well as hedge funds. That's interesting. And he's an Army veteran who also has a green thumb. But before we get there, before we talk to our guest today, we want to give you a couple shout outs. So first off, I want to talk about ContraForce. These are guys that are our foundation sponsors, saw what we're doing here a little bit early, which is great. And we appreciate that. I want to talk to give a shout out there to Stan Golubchik, to Ricky Melendez. Over there at the ContraForce guys, we're doing a great job. They're doing hyper automation for cybersecurity operations. And so what they're doing there is reducing your time from detection into resolution. And they're helping get that velocity through so much better. So great shout out there to ContraForce. I want to talk about Interpris Security. I want to talk about Nick Lanta, CEO, Michael Jinks, CTO, and Ian Roth, head of product. These guys are in the CTEM space, continuous threat exposure management. What they're doing over there is they're stitching together that intelligence layer for that entire bracket of CTEM. So look up what they're doing out there at Interpris Security. They're doing a great job as well. And we appreciate both ContraForce and Interpris Security support. So let's talk about being a professional CISO. A little bit different today in this episode. So today's episode, we have our guest is Mike Pratt. Mike is currently the CEO and co-founder at PanAmplify, which is a full client reporting solution for marketing agencies. Again, we'll get to why that's important in a second. Why is that important? Because he is the founder and host of Digital Flight Club. So welcome, Mike Pratt.
Thank you very much, David. Great to be here.
Awesome. All right. So Mike, we'll get to the whole point of this in a minute, right? But what I'd love to do, human story, right? We're here. We want to connect as human beings, people driving in their car, listening on the radio, whatever it is. But I want you to give me that 1 to 2 minute. Who is Mike Pratt? Where did you start as a youngster, right? Talk me through the hedge fund days. Talk me through the Army days up until today. Kind of give me that quick 1 to 2 minute. Who is Mike Pratt and where'd you come from?
Well, those questions always mystify me because, like, who am I? I mean, we're going to get real, real philosophical, aren't we?
And I don't want to wait till later. It gets
better. I don't want to just run through a LinkedIn profile. I turn 59 next week, so there's a data point for you. I have never purposely charted my own path of this is what I want to be when I grow up, for better or worse. I know some people do. They wake up and they're like, I want to be a heart surgeon. And 30, 40 years later, they're a heart surgeon. I didn't. So as a result, it looks like I've had 9 lives and careers, from Army officer, and then after the Gulf War, a trader on Wall Street, and then a hedge fund guy, and then a marketing agency, and then a software company. And along comes this event that you referenced, Digital Flight Club. So, I mean, the only thing consistent in that is that you mentioned gardening.
Yes.
And I've been gardening my whole life, so that's the only thing that hasn't changed. So that's my release.
Quick question: what's your go-to planting? What do you like? What's the thing you like to plant and harvest?
I'll let the fact that I have 26 tomato varieties in the ground right now be a guide towards what I really like.
I think you may have
I like tomatoes.
That's tomatoes. Excellent. Do you make sauce with those tomatoes?
I make sauce. I make everything else in between.
I'm saying with that many varieties, yes. You probably make everything.
And I start them all myself. They're all grown from seeds that I source from around the world, believe it or not.
Okay, so this not being a gardening episode.
No.
Moving on. So the first rule of Digital Flight Club is that you talk about Digital Flight Club.
That's right.
And so what I want to start with is, Mike, what is Digital Flight Club? give us the general overview, the format, right? So like if somebody's hearing this for the first time, talk them through, if they were to come experience an event like this, what would the basic structure look like?
Well, aside from the cheeky tagline of talking about Digital Fight Club, though, the ethos of that event, which we started in 2015, is that I personally thought panels at conferences were boring. And as a software company, we were sponsoring, right? We all know the sponsor deal. And so it was an antidote to that. And the event sprung out. Everything relates to that fact. And I wanted to get more out of conferences. But so as a result of that, we have an event that is a Bork event, but it's held at night. And everything about the event has a look and feel of more than a work event, but it's a social event. And when you combine the two of them, it creates the magic, we think, that happens. But the essence of the format is that we take three groups of people, okay, that we all know. And how about I use the groups in your world?
That would be wonderful.
Not my world. Okay.
Absolutely.
So the group one, and I've got tongue-in-cheek little names for them, but let's call group one the check writers.
Yeah.
Okay? They're the corporations that have CIOs and CISOs writing checks to have problems with security and cyber solved. They're generally solved by group two, which are essentially service providers. And
right.
You guys have a chicken soup name, alphabet soup name, list of acronyms for them.
Like VARs, MSSPs,
MSPs,
consultancies.
It goes on and on. But they are essentially service companies. And then the third group is the technology platforms that build all the software that helps solve those problems.
Right.
So as anybody that's ever been to a conference, I would venture, would agree with the notion that when you go to a conference, it's a vendor fest. Mm-hmm. I liken it to 100 seventh grade boys trying to get one girl to dance. And the girl in this case would be the check writer, the CIO. And so they tend to avoid the conferences because they don't want to be hounded.
Right.
Okay. So we flip that around. So what we do is we say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. CIO, what problems do you have? And those problems become bite topics.
Mm.
Then we take the middle group, who are ostensibly the most neutral of the three, and we have them fight. It came out of our second Digital Fight Club. We had a CMO, who in my world is effectively the CIO.
Right.
And the CMO is the check writer. And her name was Jennifer Sines. She was the CMO of Frito-Lay here in Dallas at the time. And she came up the after party, and I'm going to quote her. I don't know what my language restrictions are.
No language.
There are no language restrictions. Okay. She came up to the after party and she said, Mike, I got about $1 billion media budget and marketing is hard. And every time I bring a problem to one of my advertising agencies, and we got about 30 that we use here at Frito-Lay, they just kiss my ass. Couldn't I just tell you what I'm struggling with and you have their CEO's fight?
Mm.
And that was born. That's silo specific. We do a marketing fight club. We do a cybersecurity fight club, as you know.
Right.
And let me tell you what, it changes from a boring panel. You might say, what do you do with all the vendors? Well, we let them sponsor and sit in the corner and enjoy the show. But interestingly, there's no 100 seventh grade boys problems.
Right.
We only, out of 500 people at the Granada Theater here in Dallas, where we hold it, maybe 50 will belong to vendors. So they love that ratio.
Right.
And it allows the CIOs to come out in force because it's a safe space and they're not going to get hounded to death.
Right.
So let's use an example. A couple of years ago, we did the first cybersecurity fight club that you were very much a part of. Remember, Zero Trust was one of our topics.
Yes.
Selected by people like David Bell from American Airlines.
Right.
And so we have a Zero Trust fight. We get two fighters. I remember Dave Strader from Presidio was one of the fighters. And we don't tell them what to argue.
Right.
That wouldn't be very organic.
Right.
So one of my favorite things to do when we are putting the event together is I have a three-person Zoom call with me and the two fighters. And I get them both on the Zoom call. And I'm like, gentlemen, ladies, we are not leaving until you have picked the side you want to fight. And they have to get to that in an organic fashion.
Right.
Sometimes arguments break out.
They do.
It's fun. But we always, they come away knowing, okay, I'm on X, you're on Y, come out gun swinging. And so that is the foundation for the event. You want me to keep going?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So We do all this with a handful of little tiny rules that we've kind of developed along the way. As I told you, one of them is we have it at night.
Right.
Another rule is we will only do it in a venue where there's no fixed seating. All right. I don't want a ballroom at a conference.
No row seating.
No row seating where you're scooching to get to your seat. We do. The Granada, for example, has no seats. I have to bring in a package. So we bring in the comedy club cabaret package.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
I always called it pod seating, basically.
Yes. Well, it's like if you've been to it, it's like you're sitting at a comedy club.
Yeah, right.
And it's intimate. You got a cocktail in your hand. You can talk to everybody in your immediate circle. That's hard to do in theater row fixed seating.
Very much so.
It's hard to do when you're at a ballroom with 12-person tables and the half the table has to turn their seat around to see the screen at the other end of the room. None of that. Music is thumping. The production is over the top. We decorate the stage with a theme. When I say theme, we've done the Vegas boxing ring. We've done the inside of a Mortal Kombat game console, which was always my favorite.
That was great.
And the reason is we want everybody out of their headspace that this is a work event.
Right.
Okay? We have a VIP reception at the Sundown Saloon next door where all the CIOs and CISOs and vendors, which they like.
Yes, they do.
Are mingling with the folks that is impossible to get airtime with. Mm. But we have a red carpet with a step and repeat and a camera crew doing interviews, and it does not feel like a work event
at all.
And it really lets the CIO let their hair down, or the CISO let their hair down.
Right.
And they get into that space where they want. Now, when they walk into the theater and they see all this huge production and the music thumping and lights blaring, and it really, they're like, what am I at? Because all of that is designed when the bell rings, the fights are really serious. Why are they serious? We don't sell tickets.
Nope.
It is a 500 cybersecurity professionals who know their stuff.
Yep.
And I will tell you, having done 22 digital fight clubs, it is the nerdiest crowd I have ever seen. It is serious. And you put a whiskey in their hand and something magical happens. Now, I've left out a couple of parts. Let me continue.
Please.
We have the notion of a role called the referee,
yes.
Not judge. The reason I say not judge is because the entire audience gets to vote for a winner.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's judging.
Right.
But the role of the referee is to call BS on the fighters when need be. And at the end of every fight, which lasts about 10 minutes, the refs get to throw in some questions and the fighters have to respond in front of God and country. And it's difficult. When I start the event and I brief the crowd on what to expect, I let them know, hey, you guys are cybersecurity professionals. If you agree with a fighter, you should cheer them on.
Yes.
If you disagree, you should heckle. That fact alone really stresses the fighters out. I can't emphasize to you how difficult it is.
Well, having been a fighter.
Other than the fact that you were a fighter and you know.
For Dallas Startup Week in 22, I believe it was. And it gets you in a place where you're like, holy smokes. And So for Dallas Startup, we were the fifth fight, and everybody's been well attended to at the bar, let's say.
So they're liquored up.
They're liquored up.
That's industry speak.
Industry speak. They're liquored up, and this is fight five, right? And there's people that have already been booed, I can tell you that. And I'm like, I had no idea, because I had been put in as a sub 2 weeks prior. And the anxiety to say, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I need to stay on point, but I can't just stick to the subject. Otherwise it looks like you're going to get booed. Cause I have four fights in front of me that shows that. And so to go and say, you have to stick to your topic, but at the same time, be light enough on your feet to go with the jabs and then turn around and hit the questions from the referees out of the park. If you can, because the whole point of those referees is to just stick it to you. As a fighter, they want to mess you up. They want to trip you up if you're looking like you're doing too good.
Well, I don't know if they're that malevolent, but I will tell you this. Every one of us have been to, I know it probably felt that way as a fighter. Yeah. And to be fair, I've never had to fight, okay? I've only been the host. But a couple things stand out, and I think it's worth mentioning. One, these are topics that both the refs, who are clearly five of the CISOs and CIOs in the crowd, but there's another 35 or so CIOs and CISOs in the crowd as well. they're the topics that they care about because they submitted them to
yes.
me. And we synthesized them into, I mean, everybody mentioned when I said, give me your top three problems, zero trust.
Yes.
So I'm sitting here as a non-cyber guy going, I think that's important. So we have a fight on it. And everybody in the crowd realizes it's an important topic. Mm. So they care about it.
Oh, they're already passionate going in.
Going in and knowledgeable and opinionated. And so they want, so if I jump ahead and tell you, like, some of the feedback that we always get from people that have attended it for the first time are they've never learned so much in a fun, party-filled environment. They're used to quiet, boring conferences, whereby, by the way, no panelist is ever challenged. Nobody heckles a panelist
no.
at Black Hat.
No.
Nope. So they heckle here. And so when you, if you say something where you BS, you get something incorrect and you think you're using it to make a point, you're going to get challenged on it. If you stumble, well, maybe you shouldn't have been a fighter.
Right.
And then the audience votes. And I will tell you, it's a combination of everybody on stage is smart. So it's not who's the smartest.
Right.
Everybody on stage is actually a good speaker. Mm-hmm. So it's not who's the best speaker.
Right.
Not everybody can handle themselves when challenged publicly. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that plays into it.
Yep.
Not everybody can articulate their argument well. Now, the only prepared part of a fight is the first 45 seconds.
Right.
And then, as you know, it's rebuttal. And, of course, the questions are wild cards. You have no idea what's
going on. No idea.
I will tell you this. I have every referee prepare a question for a particular fight so that I can call on Jill or Bob, you have the first question for zero trust. That way, they're ready.
Right.
99% of the referees tell me they call audibles on the fly based upon how the fight's proceeded.
Right.
So that, therefore, nobody knows what the question is. And I coach them. No softballs.
No.
And they throw hardballs.
That they do.
There you go. So, and the heckling part is worth noting too. The heckling is not gratuitous. And because I've noticed this, and I don't know if you've ever been to one of the events, you've been to a bunch, where there was, matter of fact, I can tell you, were you at the marketing one?
Yes.
That we filmed the pilot?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember when there was a fight on marketing software platforms, mm-hmm. and one of the fighters referenced them and called them tools?
Right.
And then you remember that guy in the back of the room that yelled out, you're a tool.
Yes.
It did nothing to the fighter.
Nothing at all.
In fact, and you remember, I called him out and said I'd kick him out if he did that again. That's gratuitous, ridiculous heckling. It has no impact.
Right.
Okay.
But also discouraged, right? Because we're not talking about...
It's silly.
We're not talking about tearing people down.
No.
Right?
No. It's silly. It's keeping people honest.
Right.
Now, that's stressful.
So oh, for sure.
You know, I can't say we're not trying to stress fighters out. But when you just call someone a name on stage, it's actually useless.
And I think we keep it in good taste. I think that's
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
And you do a great job of that, by the way, as the because you are. The
I'll
MC.
Make fun of a heckler.
You are the ring, you know, ringmaster for sure. And yes, you. But you also take on a persona, right? So from the movie,
you're talking about my mild snark.
Or... Yes. So more of a Tyler Durden type. Snark and edge to you.
I am guilty of that.
And that's a good thing. I think that's one of the part of the brand of Digital Fight Club.
Well, it's fun, at least.
Well, I mean, as long as it gives you great personal satisfaction, I think that's where we need to be.
I did a lot of things when we created this event that were deliberate with an objective in mind. If I do this, I think this might happen. That wasn't one of them. That just kind of came out on stage.
The good side of
it. And it seemed to work, and it was entertaining. And
right.
So I'm like, I asked the producer, can I keep doing the Tyler Durden stuff? And they're like, yeah, people seem to like it. And keeps the event serious, yet not serious.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
I want to move a little bit.
Okay.
Now we have kind of that foundation. Everybody understands what we're talking about. If they've been there, now they're kind of reliving those times that they've gone to those. Great, because I do that all the time whenever we talk about it, because it's such a, and each one's a unique, different experience as well, which I think is interesting, because you're not getting the same old stuff. It's you have the framework, but then it operates within that framework, and you get a different value out every time. Talk to me about the history. How did Digital Fight Club come about? Like, talk to me the actual time. Name names. I want to hear kind of the, like, we started doing this through to here's the people involved.
Okay.
The whole nine.
It's, I like the story. So 2015, One of my investors for Pan Amplify, mm-hmm. Was an MD at the time. He's since retired for Accenture. His name is Andrew Hopkins. And Andrew and I were having beers at Common Table, shut down in Uptown.
Oh.
And I had a great set of beer taps. And we're having drinks, and we were both kind of bitching and whining about a couple of things. Okay. I was bitching and whining about conferences, which I alluded to. And David, or to me, Andrew, was bitching about, you know, obviously Accenture services the Fortune 100 and then some. And, you know, one of their missions is to, with all the work they do for their clients, is to get them into thought leadership opportunities and blah, 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 and all that sort of stuff like that. And they were just tired of the same old right. along those lines.
Right.
And somehow, and I'd be happy to give credit to Andrew or me, but none of us remembers who said what. But someone said something like, why don't, and Accenture has a trends book that they publish. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful coffee table book that they publish on trends for the year. It's a relatively benign book, and nobody was reading it. And so that was another lament of Andrew's, that we published this book and it doesn't get really widely read, blah, blah, blah. So we're like, well, why don't we get some topics out of your trends book? I'll go get some founders in and around DFW that are subject matter experts on those topics. We'll put them on stage and we'll have them argue. And you can go get some of your C-suite clients. And we'll call those referees. We didn't even know what that meant yet.
Right.
But we did that. And a key component was Andrew said, and I'll write a check and pay for it.
Yes.
So there you go. I've got a sugar daddy, and we've got the first event. And I will tell you, we still do 90% of what we did on that very first event.
Mm.
Some things have changed. I'm not sure we'll ever do a generic across the board multiple industry topic kind of event. It wasn't bad and it was fun and it was entertaining and the fights were good, but there was a component that I've noticed now was slightly missing, and that was the audience was a broad spectrum of professional expertise.
Right.
So the heckling wasn't quite as zoned in as if you put 500 cyber
people. Kind of got to lose your zealots a little bit, it sounds like.
Well, they're in pockets.
Pockets,
they're
right.
in pockets because...
And maybe not as brave to pop up as loud.
Of
right.
course. Like, I'm not a supply chain expert.
Right,
and
right.
we had a supply chain fight.
Yes.
So I'm enjoying the topic, but yeah. like, I can't heckle.
Right.
I don't know if they're right.
Yeah. Agreed.
So that's a factor. And but when you put a room full of marketers, a room full of cybersecurity, a room full of technologists, we may have an industrial one. Can you imagine an oil and gas fight club?
Oh. Pipeline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know how nerdy narrow we're going to get, but it lends itself.
All right.
And it allows it for something else as well. Everybody's hair gets let down, so to speak. So, you know, I alluded to the VIP reception, mm-hmm. you know, which is fun. And while that's going on, the rest of the professionals are in the theater doing their own little cocktailing.
Right.
And as you've experienced, it's never more than an hour. And it never will be more than an hour.
Never.
And I dismiss, and everybody's buzzing. They're like, wait, what? It's it?
Yeah, over?
It's all they want to do is talk to the fighters and talk to the refs and talk to the CISOs. And I'd argue it's hard. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find better business conversation networking than in that moment.
When I was done as a fighter, I had never been in a position where I had people following me wanting to talk to me, right? I mean, just...
Get your autograph, that kind of thing.
I don't know about the autograph side of things. Maybe not that, but just like wanting to talk about what just happened. I mean, and that's what you get from that. And I had never... And it was like, okay, we got to take turns, folks. I was almost giving out numbers, a joke. But it was... And, which is crazy because... And I saw it happening everywhere with all the fighters.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't win your fight, you still had people wanting to talk about what happened there. Because like you said, you cut it off and the energy is still there, right, for the folks in the crowd. So it just doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't stop. I want to emphasize something that I don't know if it's going to be obvious to anybody. It was obvious to me, but it is now in hindsight. So if you remember what I said about what Jennifer Sein said when she said she was tired of getting kissed up to, in pitches. Okay. You mentioned I used to run an ad agency. I've done my fair share of pitches. Mm. I bet you've been in a room pitching people for business,
yes,
too.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I'd be fooling myself if I told you that I've never stretched it a little bit in a pitch to get a piece of business, right? Where the person says, hey, can you guys do X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, hell yeah, we can do X, Y, Z. And I'm texting my CTO.
Can we figure that out?
Can we know how to do, we know how to do X, Y, and Z? Anyway, and they're used to that, but they kind of hate it.
Yes.
Well, guess what you can't do on stage fighting a topic? I have been told by the group one, the check writers, the C-suite people, that the best pitches they've ever witnessed, which weren't pitches, were fights.
Yes.
And that's why, and I don't think you were at the event, whatever, the very first marketing event that we ever did, a CMO awarded an agency CEO a piece of business at the end of their fight.
On the spot.
On the stage.
Wow.
On the stage. And I know for a fact, even though I wish I had taken notes every time I was told it occurred, I want to talk to you is a common refrain.
Yes.
I like your approach to zero trust. I felt like it was straightforward and honest, and I never get that in a pitch. That's the benefit. So you get up there and fight and hold your own. I've seen losing. Some people like, you know, lose. We've had people lose 90 to 10. Mm-hmm. You shit the bed if you did, you know, 90 to 10. But, you know, you lose 51-49, that's in the margin of error.
Right.
I've seen losers get pieces of business at the after party.
The value's there. No two ways about it.
Yeah.
All right. So switch a little bit. Digital Fight Club Cyber.
Okay.
So let's talk about history of that, right? So I'll start with, I was a fighter.
You are the history.
One of the history.
Take a victory lap.
A little bit. And I can honestly say it led directly to this, what we're doing today. So there is a line here.
I feel honored.
But from fighter to once I was done fighting, a gentleman by the name of Brad Smith came up to me and said, great job. You know, gave me a compliment, and I'm like, give me 1 second. I'm going to go talk to somebody. I turned my head for a second. He's gone like the flash, right? I'm like, where did he go? Luckily, we were able to sync up the next week at a conference. You know, still
hoping. I'm sure it was an exciting
conference. It was amazingly exciting. We won't, no names there. But then it started kind of snowballing a little bit on we should do this. And then you were approached, and you said...
I mean, it was the proverbial no-brainer. It was absolutely a no-brainer, particularly since your industry aligns organizationally like mine. So I didn't have to put a lot of thought into the notion there, you know, with like the check writers and
right. Yeah, we didn't have to wedge too much. We had to. There was some,
a little bit.
There was
a little bit. Y'all have relationships with your tech vendors and your VARs that we don't have in the marketing world, and we adjusted for that. But generally speaking, it kind of worked, and so yeah.
And so then we moved into did the first one. I think we were kind of targeting the end of 22, but really wound up doing early 23 due to budgets, I think is what it was for folks. We were kind of hitting the end of a cycle for budget. So hit it in April, went really, really well. And immediately from there, it caught fire. I can, you know, and I would love to hear your perspective on that where, you know, we didn't really have too hard of a time moving on to the next one in November.
No, I will tell you. So, you know, because Jennifer is in the marketing from, you know, when she gave me the idea. And that, so the first silo, I don't know what the right word for it is. Silos, you know, sector, whatever. Marketing's not a sector.
Vertical
might be the right one. I did my own, particularly since I knew everybody in it. And so I could piece that together easily. I don't know anybody in cyber or didn't at the time.
Right.
I know more than I thought I ever would now. Yeah. But I know the players and I can rattle off Tanium and Palo Alto and all the players, et cetera. That, you know, shout out to all them, I guess, better than I ever could. And so the response I got on the marketing one was great, but I felt like I was inside of it. Mm-hmm. But I was outside of it watching the response for your sector. And so it felt louder, so to speak. It felt greater. And I don't know if that's because marketing events are already kind of fun. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit sexier sector than you guys are,
definitely.
No offense.
Less nerd factor.
And so I think, I had a handful of those nerds coming up going, Well, that's the craziest cyber event I've ever been to. So I'm all right with
mission
that.
Accomplished.
I'm all right with that. So yeah, and that's why I think it was, you know, it allowed us to do two in 1 year, which
yes.
we've never done.
Right.
And it was easy.
Yeah, it was. It was so. Not. I mean, there's work to it, but it was one of those. I was like, yeah, we had folks ready to come and participate, and more so on the second one than obviously the first one. First one, you're unproven, at least in cyber.
Yeah.
All right. That leads us to. What's happening now? What is going on with Digital Fight Club generally?
I see what you teed up there.
I did.
So, you know, didn't set out for this. Serendipity kind of like worked its magic. And, you know, it's hard to explain. I'm going to give a little. Can I give a little backstory?
Yes.
It's hard to explain this event to a first timer.
Mm.
You know, I've gotten better at it over the years.
So have I.
But it's hard to, as you know, to capture it. We actually record sometimes the expressions on people's face when they walk into the theater mm-hmm. the first time. So as a result, you know, I've had the videographer just film the fight so I could slap some stuff up onto YouTube. And so that lives there. Mm-hmm. Well, the gentleman, but I didn't have an odd budget for it. And so no discredit to the folks that shot it, but I just didn't have a lot of money for it.
Right.
So it was kind of like, you know, a camera or two here and there. Put some editing together, YouTube video,
right.
pretty static, but you could watch and see and get a better sense.
Right.
Okay. So it lived on the YouTube channel. It was really just for explanatory purposes.
Right.
Okay. I wasn't trying to create like the monster podcast that you have here
hey.
And you've built here. So that gentleman happened to be on the crew of a streaming shoot in East Texas last summer and showed it to the producers. Who fell in love with the concept. And then a dinner led to another dinner, led to another meeting, led to another dinner. And next thing you know, it's the concept's kind of been shopped to the Hollywood types mm-hmm. and the networks and the streamers who were like, we want to see a show here. So we filmed the fall marketing one as a pilot with full crew and all that sort of stuff like that. And it's been picked up to be a 4-episode TV show. Can't tell you any more than that in terms of location and output and all that. There's a lot going on in Hollywood right now with
right.
the various strikes and the possibility of a crew strike. And so we're going to leave it at that. But what I think is probably something that turns you on and makes you excited is, you know, the producers had to choose the first topic.
Right.
You know, they asked for my input and all that. But, you know, it's not just me now.
Right.
And to my huge delight, they have not messed with the format.
Awesome.
Because we've had 22 fight clubs, and so right. they've bought into the fact that that's already proven out.
Right.
Yay. So they chose cybersecurity, which is phenomenal. You know, we're shooting episode one back at the birthplace at the Granada Theater. The rest of the episodes will probably not be in DFW, but the first one will be at DFW, and it's cybersecurity. And I was like, why is cyber the one you want? I thought for sure they do marketing.
Right.
And they chose cyber. But you know what? The Sony hack, the MGM hack.
Right.
They told me, they're like, it's on everybody's lips in Hollywood right now.
Right.
In a scared kind of way. So we're probably going to have a fight topic related to, you know, the entire entertainment video online industry,
right.
which I know cyber is heavily involved with.
Yes.
I've got to assume that the folks in your world would love to get business from Sony to help protect themselves and
security. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure somebody already has that business.
I'm sure yeah. they do, but somebody's right. bucking for it as well.
Right. That's the universe we live in.
Yes.
So it's not trivial, and it's big, and it's topical, and should be a fun, cool fight.
When is it?
June 27th.
Granada Theater. Start time is roughly?
The fights start at 7. We have a VIP reception. The cocktail parties all start at 6 o'clock. The after party starts at 8. And that's always been the format. And it will continue to be so. I will tell you, some of the, you know, as an indicator of how, like, fired up everybody is, becoming a TV show, you know, comes, I'm going to be, You're okay if I'm completely transparent? And,
absolutely. And that's the whole point
of
this podcast.
Wear it on my sleeve.
Please
okay,
do.
Good. All right. So didn't set out to be a TV guy.
Right.
Host a TV show. I'm okay with it. If it never happened, I would be okay with that as well. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's interesting. But I've never done it.
Right.
So I'm a little naive when it comes to
sure.
that. And I've learned a lot in the last year.
Be.
Just new language for crying out loud. I know what a grip is now.
Right.
Yay. Anyway, my point is I was nervous that when Hollywood got a hold of this, it would turn into a cheesy, fake reality show. They haven't asked to change anything. We've made a few tweaks.
Of course.
I'd love to tell you about for the June event. Example, we're going to take the number of fights from 5 down to 3.
Right.
We're not going to extend the length of the fights, but we're going to add anecdotal filmed vignettes introducing each fighter and referee
background.
To background and add context. That'll certainly help a home audience.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think the folks in the crowd are going to like that too.
Yes, agreed.
Another question I had was, what do I do about sponsorship? Because on one hand, the budget for, you know, bringing in, you know, 15 cameras and all the stuff that goes with that wasn't enough covered by what we had sponsors with. On the other hand, that still contributes, and they're an important cog in the
Absolutely.
In the system of it, all that. So they're like, yes, it's going to be limited, but yes, we're going to have it. And so I announced, as you recall, last week, and they're gone. There's no sponsorships left.
Wow.
They just went like poof. And so I was like, oh, holy cow. So I think that's an indicator of how your sector views this. So that's cool.
What about the fighters? So what level are we looking at here for the fighters? And nothing against the previous ones, and myself included.
Well, the previous ones kind of stuck to it, generally speaking, you know. But Jennifer Bacchus Frito-Lay, she also, you know, she also said something which I've really never forgotten, and I kind of try to hold true to. And she said, if they're not in the room pitching me, I don't want them on stage fighting. Because in my world, for example, I've had some agency CEOs say, I'm not going to name names, say, oh, I'd really like to have my director of paid media be the fighter. They're the expert. And the CMO's like, get your butt in on stage and fight. You don't send your underling to do your fighting. So we have a few rules. Everybody needs to know this and hopefully accept it. No salespeople.
Right.
No marketing people. They have to be senior. And so, you know, if it's a 20,000 person shop, it's going to be senior people.
Right.
Right. Division level, that kind of stuff. And that's who we've had.
Right.
If it's a medium sized shop, it tends to be the CEO.
Right.
And that's just the way it is.
Okay. We're going to transition.
Again?
I have a wrap up. Segment here. By the way, so pleased to be associated with Digital Fight Club. It's been gratifying to see the growth and the way that we've been able to work together, especially on the cyber side.
We would not have pulled it together without you. And
well,
no, we really wouldn't have.
And let's not leave out Logan, because Logan is a key piece of this. Logan
Absolutely.
Spates.
Absolutely.
And so, but as a team, just amazing that we were able to go out there in such a short period of time. So, and obviously you as the core, but we appreciate that. So truly, truly gratified to be associated with it. For the wrap up, what I do is a thing called 10 questions. And the good news is I did not warn you about this.
No, you didn't.
And so what this is think of it like a Rorschach test, but with words. Okay. And so short answer, poignant.
Are you going to analyze my ink blots afterwards?
A little bit.
For
a little
psychological
bit. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Which, you know, I fully expect it to be off the charts. What's your favorite word?
Gentrification.
What's your least favorite word?
Gentrification.
What area of your work do you find most interesting?
The talking to potential customers.
What area of your work do you find most challenging?
Whenever I have to play account manager.
What sound or noise do you love?
Sound or noise do I love? Artillery fire.
Back to the Army. What sound or noise do you hate?
Artillery fire.
Just depends on which end you're on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck if I know.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt, other than the two that you have right now?
Horticulturalist.
Mm. What profession would you not like to do?
Sanitation engineer.
Mm. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear your God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well done, good and faithful servant.
All right, so in this episode, we covered all about Digital Fight Club. I want to thank our guest, Mike Pratt. Truly appreciate having him on. Ultimately, this is a little bit different than what we do, but I think this is going to be key in what we're moving into in cybersecurity. And this is going to be, you know, I would say big. It's the only way I can put it. So wanted to have Mike on, give him get the backstory out there. That way we have a place to go and say, look, we can explain it maybe a little bit deeper if you wanted the 40-minute version of it. So truly appreciate him coming out and being a part of this. And colleagues and friends, I renew the call. It's time to professionalize the role of the CISO. Until next time, I wish you health, happiness, and success on your journey on becoming the professional CISO. Let's do this.
We're professionalizing the CISO role, so please subscribe to the Professional CISO Podcast.